This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:38 in the evening and you are listening to Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. Up next, we want to talk about Malaysian foreign policy. This is, of course, like we said earlier, after the government launched a revised foreign policy framework yesterday, which, among other things, stresses the need for Malaysia to have a louder voice at a time where multilateralism is under threat.
The Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, said that powerful countries are now imposing their will on others and violating international agreements and resolutions. And he cited trade sanctions and the conflicts in Palestine and Jammu and Kashmir as examples of this. So through this new framework, Malaysia wants to be a more prominent voice for democracy and freedom and human rights and the rule of law and those kind of things.
But Tun Mahathir acknowledged that there will be limitations on how influential or effective Malaysia's protests on the international stage will be, considering we're not as powerful or as large as the major powers.
Yeah, and I would like very much to know how that will impact when we actually speak to those larger powers, right? How much influence can we actually exert? So we're joined now by Professor James Chin, who is the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good evening.
So why do you think there is a need for a new foreign policy framework?
Well, I think there's a need for a new foreign policy framework simply because the country experienced the first regime change for the last 60 years. This is not new. As you know, they also are coming up with a new white paper on defense policy. So I think it's time that we do have put our minds together to come up with something new in terms of the foreign policy. I have to say I'm very pleased with this new document, especially one of its principles, which is they want to increase the participation of the public and civil society. I think that's extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a key element that was missing from Malaysia's previous foreign policy.
So what are the aspects of our old foreign policy that this new framework seeks to overcome?
It's not a question of overcoming. I mean, Malaysia, basically, from the time it became independent in 55 and 63, basically, Malaysia's position was that we are a medium country. We're not very large. We're not very small. We're sort of in the middle. Our two key pillars have always been the OIC, the Islamic State, and ASEAN, and we try to project our influence through these two organizations. I think the new document, it also shows that we are much more matured, we're ready to take part in more international engagement, and I'm also very pleased that it says that we're going to be sort of a platform for more mature democracies in the region, and I think that's extremely important for a country like Malaysia that has experienced its first regime change.
So, Mahathir said more powerful countries are unilaterally imposing their will on other countries, for example, in terms of trade sanctions. How successful will this new framework be in helping Malaysia deal with these threats to multilateralism?
This is actually nothing new. If you look at the post-Second World War international architecture, the big powers have always bullied the small countries. I mean, it goes without saying that, you know, we saw the 20th century as the American century. People don't call it the American century for nothing. So basically, America has been pushing its way, especially after the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's really nothing new. In terms of trying to get a voice into the new reality where we have things like the U.S.-China trade war, Malaysia's voice is important. I think it's important that all the countries come together and tell the big powers that every time you guys quarrel, it's going to affect the rest of us as well. So it's a question of countries coming together, all saying the same things to the two big powers, which is the US and the upcoming power, China.
Right, because on that note, Tun M did also say that there are limits, or there will be limits, to how impactful our advocacy will be on the international stage, I think, especially when thinking about dealing with the big powers of the world. How can we have a greater influence when speaking up on global issues? Is it going to come down to banding together with other like-minded countries, or how much influence can we exert when we're on our own?
I think the reality is that we have to work through work with other countries. We have to work very closely with ASEAN, and I think we will have to work very closely with OIC. It depends on the issue. On some issues, Malaysia has been quite effective. But on some issues, we're sort of totally hopeless. And I think if you would ask people around today, say in the last 48 hours, people are very disappointed that Malaysia and countries like Singapore, we can't seem to do anything about the haze, even though that Indonesia is also a founding partner of ASEAN. So it depends really on what sort of issues you're talking about. But like I said earlier, I'm very pleased that the government has acknowledged the participation of public and civil society, because I think increasingly moving forward, we need to talk about human rights and the old policy of keeping quiet, where we don't talk about fellow ASEAN members' internal domestic problem. I think that has to be relooked at. I think there are some issues like the abuse of human rights in places like Thailand, Cambodia, and the Philippines, and also Myanmar. I think Malaysia should have a bigger voice in this issue, especially now when a lot of countries around the region see us as a beacon for democracy.
How does the new foreign policy framework sort of enhance or impact the way we collaborate or deal with other countries in ASEAN?
I think it really has to do with Malaysia's stature. I think a lot of countries were very surprised that there was a regime change in Malaysia, and people suddenly realized that, you know, Malaysia is slowly maturing into a democracy. And I think a lot of countries see that as a sign that in terms of political development, we're on the way up rather than on the way down. If you really look at the countries around us, a lot of countries are actually going backward. If you look at Thailand, I think democracy there is basically dead. It's gone back to military rule. If you look at the Philippines, you really have the making of somebody who is very authoritarian, somebody who goes around telling people that he's happy to shoot at drug dealers and all that sort of stuff. So I think if you look around the region, really, the two countries that can claim to be more democratic, more assertive in terms of human rights will probably be Indonesia and Malaysia. So I think Malaysia is in a very sweet spot now. So I think if we play our cards right, we can be much more influential.
And, you know, I understand the need then to work together with our other member states here in ASEAN in order to speak to larger powers. But does that need to band together impact our ability to, I wouldn't say interfere, because that, as we know, goes directly against the ASEAN way. But, you know, does that then impact our influence in speaking directly to countries within ASEAN? And here I'm thinking pretty much of a country like Myanmar, for example.
Look, the reality is that it depends on the issue itself. ASEAN itself has its own way of doing things. But just because we work closely with ASEAN on certain issues, that doesn't mean we have to work with ASEAN on every single issue. So for things like human rights, we probably don't need to work through ASEAN. We can work through the UN network or other networks. But on certain things, I believe strongly that ASEAN is still a very good platform, especially if you want to deal with security issues. I mean, one of the areas that Malaysia really has to look at and we really have to deal with, and we really don't have a choice, is the issue of the Chinese buildup in the South China Sea. So for something like that, it is very obvious that if we were to stand on our own to try to talk to the Chinese, nothing will happen. So something like that, we really need a bigger platform. Although ASEAN has sort of refused to deal with this issue, I suspect in the coming years, they really don't have a choice. At the pace that the Chinese are building military base in the small islands in the South China Sea, I can tell you that, you know, within the next 10 years, not only will you find military bases throughout the South China Sea, but much more important, you see that the Chinese Navy will have blue water capability. They're currently building upwards of about 8 to 10 aircraft carriers. Once all those things become operational, I think we really will have to step out and deal with this issue very, very seriously.
So the new framework touched on strengthening South-South cooperation. What's the current situation in terms of our relationships with other developing countries?
Again, that is nothing new. If you look at the old framework, we've always sort of championed issues of South-South cooperation. In fact, during Mahathir's first term as Prime Minister, he created this thing called the Langkawi Dialogue, where he invited a lot of third world countries, especially African countries, to come and talk about common issues. So again, this is nothing new. Malaysia has always tried to work with other developing countries, and it sees itself as a voice for the South, the global South. I don't think there's any nothing new in that. And there's also nothing new in the fact that we want to be friends with everyone. But I think it's important that we came out with a paper to tell the rest of the world that we had a regime change in Malaysia. Things are different now. We're far more democratic. We're allowing a lot more voices into our foreign policy. And we'll speak up on things that we normally don't speak up with, which is the issue of democracy and human rights.
Okay, so in your opinion, moving forward in the next 5 or 10 years, what foreign policy issues should Malaysia prioritise or focus on?
Well, it's not a question of what are the things that we want to keep a priority on. Obviously, the first thing we want to keep priority is that we want to make this part of the world, the ASEAN region, as safe as possible, so all of us can concentrate on building our own individual countries. So I think the security dimension is very important, especially the rise of China and what's happening in the South China Sea. I think increasingly the climate change issue will be on top of the agenda. Right now, Kuala Lumpur is you know, covered by haze. Cross-boundary environmental issue, I think, is going to be very, very important. And I think we will find that things like cyber security, threats dealing with cyber issues, mm-hmm. all these, I think, will be upcoming key issues. And in some ways, it's not a question of placing priorities. In some ways, is that we have to find a way to deal with all these issues, which means that many of our existing diplomats have to relearn the tools. The sort of things they learn at the universities in international relations are no longer relevant in the 21st century.
James, thank you so much for weighing in today.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, talking to us about Malaysia's new foreign policy framework at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.